Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball. Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
All right, boys and girls, welcome to the championship rounds of Drolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. As always, it is outstanding to have you with us today. Thank you for your continued support. Today's show brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Continue to let us know what you're thinking, what you're feeling. We're taking requests. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. A way to continuously interact with not just us, but all the shows here on 95.7 The Game. Let's go to the phones. Super Bowl champ, three-time All-Pro cornerback for the San Francisco 49ers. Check out the podcast Believe in 49ers on the Believe Podcast Network. Eric Davis, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. What's up, ED? Thanks for the time. How are you?
I am well. I'm well, man. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well, as well, to see if we can get the overpaid here on the word well. In the first couple minutes of the show. But as always, we enjoy the conversation. We got a million questions we want to throw your way. We're just going to throw football questions your way nonstop. I'm going to start with this, just right out of the gate. Cam Newton released from the Carolina Panthers yesterday. What do you think makes sense as a logical landing spot? Is Cam going to be starting this fall?
I mean, there are places where Cam could come and start. I do believe he will be starting, if healthy. I mean, that's the number one question. We know that, if not for everything going on where he can have his physical. So the issue is going to be his foot. It makes you question it because Carolina let him go, and they don't have a solid option at the quarterbacking position in a division where you know you're going to need good quarterback play, period, you know, in a league where you need it, but definitely in their division. But you got a new owner. You got new people there, so that could have something to do with it. But you got the same general manager that brought him in. So Cam, if let's just assume the foot is going to be okay. Yes, Cam Newton is a starting quarterback in the NFL. There are a lot of landing spots. If people can sit here and talk about crazy, but it's not crazy for New England to take a look at him. It's not crazy for the Chargers to take a look at him. It's really not crazy. It's not crazy for the Raiders, even after what they've done already. It's not crazy for them to look at him. He can play. We know that.
He can play. Another guy, you know, he's shown the ability to throw touchdowns, but he's also shown the ability to throw some INTs. Famous Jameis. What happens to him? Where does he go? Is he a backup now?
Jameis is a backup right now, but if I'm Jameis, I'm going to a situation to where I feel very comfortable with the head coach or the offensive coordinator as a teacher. He was in a perfect situation. When you think about it, he really was in a perfect situation, looking at what he was doing and giving himself an opportunity to learn from Arians. So now this is a chance. If you can sit and do what Teddy Bridgewater did, get behind the quarterback, sit and learn how to slow down with some of the because that gunslinger mentality that he has is going to stay there. But if you can learn how to navigate the game a little differently, I think that would help him. I don't think it would hurt him going to go to a place and sit behind go to Dallas, sit behind Dak. People can say what they want to say with Dak, but Dak doesn't lose games for you at all. You can learn something from the way this guy runs the game. It wouldn't be bad, to, you know. I don't think this is the guy that's going to go after him, but it wouldn't be bad for him to do the same thing that Bridgewater did. Go to New Orleans, get in and learn from Sean Payton and watch Drew Brees navigate a game. So he may not be back at the starting position this season. He is a starter in the NFL, and he'll, just like Bridgewater, he's going to get another shot.
Watching and learning seemed to help Jimmy Garoppolo in his time in New England, and you look at how he performed last year off the ACL, first full season starting at quarterback. Where are the areas of growth, ED, that you see for Garoppolo heading into this next season?
Poise is going to be a major part of it. I think just understanding how to execute the position, we saw he can do that. But there are times when you have to learn to stand in there and get hit in the beat. And it's not taking your first read. It's understanding that things are a little muddy, but I trust the guys that are around me to make this play. Those are the things that I think he's going to improve on. And that just comes from playing. Every position, there are things that you go from, the actual learning to where there's this sort of feel that you have for things. And you get there, and Lo, you guys know what I'm talking about. I mean, there were times in games where I knew what they were about to do, because
sure.
you could just feel it. You could feel the sense of what's happening. You could see the guy in front of you. You could see their body twitching. You can see their lean. You get a feel for what coaches like to do and the way the game has progressed. That's what Garoppolo has got to get better at. And the only way you can watch and watch a player from the sideline. And you can learn the game, but you don't get better until you play. So, guys, he did okay. He won a lot of games. He took his team to the Super Bowl in his first full year. I'm okay with Jimmy. Jimmy's going to get better, but I think the main part of it is just poise. It's playtime, poise, understanding now is the time. Because it's different in knowing the playbook and knowing when to perform certain plays and how those plays are going to play out. It's a different thing, and that's where he is right now.
Oh, no question. I couldn't agree with you more. When you're looking at Jimmy G, though, and you're thinking about if this is your quarterback, how important is it to protect the quarterback? At times this year, I looked at the Saints game, was pretty exceptional. But at times, especially when it was passing downs and you knew Jimmy was going to get to the 7 and 5 step drop, seemed like the pocket didn't show me consistency. When the play action and everything is rolling and the run game's going, yes. But when you knew it was just obvious pass, you saw Seattle, the fumbles, the interceptions, you saw different teams when they knew that they were just going to have to be in a heavy pass. What do you think? Is it more Jimmy, or do you think that offensive line could need some more bolstering?
It's a combination of both, but I have no problem. Well, you've heard me say, I have no problem with them drafting an O-lineman. In the first round, I have no problem with them getting big boys because you need that. I'm with you on that. Yes, your quarterback can perform. He has to see things. He has to figure out what's happening with the team and figure out a way to navigate through all of that craziness. But he needs time to do it. You look at all the play action, the deep routes that you like to run, even though there's a lot of misdirection and it creates that, imagine just being able to just stand in the pocket and throw the ball, and you don't have that push coming right up the middle. Because
sure.
That's what's happened. That's what he needs. So I think go for offensive lineman. I don't have a problem if you do that free agency or draft.
Eric Davis joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Speaking of the draft, the NFL General Managers Subcommittee voted yesterday 6-1. For a proposal to push back the draft. Because of everything that's happening with coronavirus, they're not able to investigate prospects as they can in the past. Physicals, meetings, all those psychological evaluations. Goodell has said, it's business as usual. We're moving forward. We're having the draft April 23rd to the 25th. Is that a bad look for the NFL?
Having the draft? No. And so, I mean, which part is a bad look that they need more time to or more in-person visits to evaluate the player, or pushing it back?
Pushing it back. Just the idea that with everybody else canceling everything, the NFL is going to go on business as usual.
It won't be business as usual, because business as usual would be a week of partying in Vegas and people all out and all the fanfare. And, we've all been a part of that. So that's it's not business as usual. What they're saying, they're just going to conduct the draft. And they should have you look at these organizations now. You have every piece of film, game film, from every player that you ever want to see. You can question everyone that you want to question. They can still talk to the players, which, you know, and at the end of the day, it's a crapshoot anyway. As long as you're not trying to outsmart guys and you're not trying to get this, you know, this underwear Olympics monster, then you're fine. If a guy played most of the time, correct me if I'm wrong, if a guy was really good in high school, most of the time he's going to be really good in college. And if he's really good in college, most of the time, if you see it on film, that guy's really good once he gets to the next level, right?
True. No question. Yeah. Most of the times.
So, yeah, most of the time. And the times that doesn't happen, you're like, what went wrong there? So it's the same thing right now. I don't know if they need more time. And as far as in some cases, I think we need some distractions from what's going on with everyone locked up. I think we need some distractions. The draft could provide that. But it's not putting anyone in harm's way if they're sitting in their places just doing that back home. So I'm okay. I'm okay with it. I don't think it's a bad look. I think if they had tried to in some way, rope off a VIP section in Vegas and try and do it, that would have been a bad look. I'm okay with it. What they got going on right now.
What about the idea of it not being a fair competitive balance with some teams in California and New York not able to have employees in the facility, yet other teams and other markets having an advantage? Do you think the NFL should look at the imbalance of what's going on and use that as a reason to maybe push the draft?
How is there an imbalance? I don't understand being there and your selection having any bearing on the person that you're going to get or his ability to come in and perform within your system. You know right now the guy that you're going to draft. If the draft were wherever, you name the city in the United States and all of the teams, all 32 teams were represented there, the players that they're drafting aren't all necessarily going to be there, and their presence isn't necessary. Because their presence at the draft doesn't have anything to do with how they're going to learn the playbook, how they are going to mesh with their teammates, how they are going to perform in your colors. So all of that, again, that's there is no competitive advantage for being in Vegas or not being in Vegas if everyone is selecting, from their offices. So I that's just another one of those things to complain about if you want to complain, but. If you've done your job, if your scouting department's doing what it's supposed to do, you guys know the players that you're going to draft. You know what you're looking for, and then you just go get them. It's really not that hard. I don't think it's that difficult.
Ed, final question for you. We were curious with Marcus Mariota landing in Las Vegas behind Derek Carr on a 2-year deal worth just short of $18 million. A, who do you think starts the season for the Raiders? And B, if that answers Derek Carr, how long do you think he lasts as a starter for the Las Vegas Raiders?
I've always thought that, I think I said to you guys a long time ago, and asked, I think Derek Carr is going to be the starter. I think the only reason they throw other names out there is because it's just status is Vegas, and they're just trying to throw some names out there. I think this is the guy that they want. He'll be the starter. Mary, it's not like he has this major threat behind him. He doesn't at all. I don't think they are inclined to throw Mariota out there. So he's going to have a longer rope than most people think. And depending on what they do in this draft coming up, things should get a little bit better. This is more so on John Gruden. Gruden has to advance his system. He was running what he was running the system that he had when he had Gannon and Tim Brown and Jerry out there. you can't do that anymore. You have to. Yeah, there are teams still running, you know, the version of the West Coast offense that he had. But you see how Andy Reid and all these guys they have pushed it forward. He's going to have to push his offense forward. That in itself will help his quarterback if guys on defense don't know exactly what he's doing. But I think Derek Carr will maintain that as. It's like everything else. They come out. I think he'll start. If they come out, if they're winning, he's going to get there. If not, they already have a ready-made excuse and they'll go to Mariota. But it doesn't matter. If they go to Mariota, they're not going to get better. You're not going to get better quarterback play from Mariota than you get from Derek Carr.
Super Bowl champ, three-time All-Pro corner for the San Francisco 49ers. Check out the podcast Believe in 49ers on the Believe Podcast Network. Eric Davis, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Always appreciate the time, ED. Thank you very much.
Hey, no problem, Matt. That's easy.
You as well. First question out of the gate for both of you. You don't see it coming, so that's why I'm going to ask you. Your life is on the line. Who wins the AFC East, Dibs, in 2020?
Buffalo. I'm going to go with Buffalo.
Low.
I'm with the same church. Buffalo, I think you'll see what they continue to do offensively. You see what they're doing defensively. They're gonna be a handful. No Brady, no more Patriots. I think you gotta give the edge to Buffalo.
Imagine that. Now I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying imagine the fact that you just put your life on the line, you put it in the hands of a team that has not won a playoff game this millennium, and the year is 2020. They haven't won a divisional title this millennium, and the year is 2020. Think about that for a second. Again, not saying you're wrong, but look at the state of where we're at right now. Life on the line, both guys taking the Buffalo Bills to win the division. Was it even close, Dibs?
Yeah, it was close because you look at a Jets team that's gotten better, and I think Miami, with what they're trying to do down there with the head coach getting a second year, they're going to be improved, and everyone wants to throw dirt on New England just automatically because TB12 is not there, and offensively they don't look to be that dominant, but they still have the greatest coach maybe since Vince Lombardi, maybe ever in football. So it's not such a clear-cut choice. I just think that Buffalo is a team that right now has a leg up, and that's why I went in that direction. And I, quite frankly, we were forced to pick. I mean, if I could have abstained, I would have abstained, but then you bring on the wrath of Joey Courtside.
I think it's always great sports talk radio when guys ask questions and everyone goes, no thanks.
Yeah, I'll pass. Yeah,
on to the next topic.
I think, too, when you look at this situation, I think a lot's going to be what New England decides to do at the quarterback position. If they go out in Cam Newton and get Cam Newton, would we say this same thing? It probably would change because they do have a defense. Then you look at what they have then, New England, and if they go out and get a receiver. So then it might change. But I think that you're going to have Buffalo, and I believe it or not, I don't think the Jets are going to be that number two. I look at Miami. I think Miami's going to be that number two in that league, and then think New England. I really believe the quarterback is everything. And if they get a quarterback and some receivers and some help for Cam or whoever they decide to get quarterback, I don't think Winston can do it. I think Cam is more likely to be the one that can win. He managed games, more of a game manager than Jameis Winston. Then I would maybe change. But I really believe Miami is going to start that uptick this year. That's a team that, in my opinion, is going to win 8 games. I know that probably you can get them at a cheap right now. They're probably at 6 or 5 or 6, Miami. But I got them winning 8 this year.
Interesting. The Jets went 1-7 to start the year last year. They closed 6-2, and they got Sam Darnold entering year 3. I think there's some intrigue there, but they're the Jets. The Dolphins made a whole bunch of noise late in the season, and a lot of people think they're going to draft Tua number 5 overall. But can you bank on Tua, and can you bank on growth with the Dolphins? Spent a lot of money at the cornerback position, so that should be solid. What about everything else? The Bills... heavy lies the head that wears the crown, right? Suddenly they're the favorites. I like them like you guys do. That would be the pick, but I don't know how safe I am with that. And then I keep thinking to myself, do I really want to discount the Patriots? Do we really want to write the Patriots off? If everybody's writing off Bill Belichick and the Patriots, is that really the wise thing? This is going to be his Mona Lisa. This is going to be him coming out trying to prove to everyone, we might not have Brady, it might be Brian Hoyer, but we still won 10 games. I have no idea what to make of this division. Of all the divisions, it's the biggest crapshoot out there. Question number 2. Which player wins more games for the Las Vegas Raiders this year? Derek Carr, Marcus Mariota, or Cam Newton? Which quarterback would win you more games this year? Lowe, I'll start with you this time.
Well, I think if all three of those guys were there and they all had to play a season with that team, I'd go with Cam Newton. I think he's bigger, he's stronger than all both those guys, and he's more physical. He can give you those yak yards and do some other things that I don't think those guys could do. I think Carr, you see him, he's a pocket guy, and yes, he can throw the ball. But if you ask me, if those three guys had a chance with that team and that squad they have, you gave them a whole year, I think it'd be Cam Newton.
Dibs.
It's Marcus Mariota. I think that the leash is going to be shorter than what Eric was saying about Derek Carr, just based on what you were laying out, Joe, from a contract standpoint, what the what the dead cap number would be for Derek Carr going into next year. I think when you look at his tenure as a Raider, first in Oakland, now in Las Vegas, I don't know if he gets a long leash. So assuming the Las Vegas Raiders come out and maybe they struggle at the start of the year, we don't know if the stadium would be ready in September, so they may be facing an early road slate. If they come out 1-3, I can see him going to Mariota early, and therefore Marcus Mariota would win more games in my scenario.
That's a hypothetical, right? That's if Cam Newton, all three of those guys, had a full season. Is that what the question? Because you're saying
I'm just
Cam
saying
Newton,
of these three quarterbacks, pick one that would give the Raiders the best chance of winning the most games this year. Newton, Carr,
Cam
Mariota.
Okay.
From the beginning, which guy would end up winning you the most games? Like if you're Gruden and you have to win the most games possible this year, next year doesn't exist, which would be the guy? See, what I'm thinking about the Raiders is, and this is what would concern me if I'm a Raider fan, you're going to start the season with Carr. Carr's likely gone after this year with the way the contract's set up. Easy to get rid of him. Dead cap number less than $3 million after this season. So you can start the season with Carr and hope that Marcus Mariota pushes him to get the best out of him. But maybe that doesn't happen, and this team struggles. So you say, you know what? Now we're going to see what we got in Mariota. So you turn it over to Mariota, and he struggles. What happens at the end of the year? Because now you're 3 years into the John Gruden 10-year contract. You've gotten nowhere. You still don't have your quarterback. So what do you do next offseason? Are you finally drafting a guy? Are you going to give Mariota another chance in the second year of the deal to try to develop him? Are you going to put some weapons around him? See, this is where it gets really delicate for the Raiders. It's kind of a restart with Las Vegas. But Gruden's entering year three. First 2 years haven't been anything impressive by any standards. And you still got a major question mark around the most important position in the game. Oh, by the way, Patrick Mahomes isn't going anywhere. And if the Chargers figure out their quarterback position in this draft, you're falling behind them as well. And then it's really just a matter of what Denver's going to do. At some point, they need to figure it out. And if it doesn't work with the Mariota Carr tandem, you're going to enter year four, and you're still going to have a major question mark at the position.
Yeah, and I think the one saving grace is Denver. And you look at their situation, and John Elway hasn't been able to figure it out. And now you've got Vic Fangio, a defensive-minded head coach, who probably isn't going to develop a quarterback on his own. So you feel like Denver, at least, is going to be on par with you. The real concern is the LA Chargers, because they are just a good or a decent quarterback away with all the talent they have. And for the Raiders, Lo, it's an interesting point, because obviously best case scenario, Derek Carr plays great and you've got Mariota as a trade chip or as an insurance policy. But if neither Carr nor Mariota plays well, what then? Because you probably won't be so bad that you'll be in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes, because there's going to be teams out there looking for only one victory this year.
And I'm surprised, Dibs, that you took Mariota even when Joe gave us that scenario, because I know I thought you were thinking just because those guys are on the team now. If you were listening, I would think you would take Cam because of the fact he's been to a Super Bowl. He's been the MVP. You've seen his body of work. Yeah, he's been injured. Carr's been injured. Mariota's been injured.
Yeah, right.
Who's
right.
No,
it's better if you answer for yourself, and I'll answer for myself. And
I was going
to
say,
if I need to clarify down the road, I'll clarify for myself down the road. And this gives the listeners a real look into why I would not choose you to be abandoned with on an island. Because not only are you trying
the question.
No, step off for a second, Lo. I understood the question, and I answered it in my own
Joe,
way.
Why are you laughing,
and yet
Joe?
You got to come in now and try to act like some sort of like big brother, put your arm around me. I don't need it. Don't want it. And you go ahead and stay in your lane. Stay in your lane as I channel my inner what's-his-face ball.
Was I,
LeVar
Joe,
ball,
was
thank
I,
you.
You
stay
Joe,
in your
was
lane.
I at the top? What do you think about that? Was I being over the top?
You were wrong, and you were out of line is what that was.
Let me hear
non-biased. Okay, go ahead, Joe.
You were each asked the same question. You both gave your answers. You didn't like his answer, and you thought you misheard the question. So what you did was you asked me to clarify the question. I did, and you realized, oh, I did hear it right. Cam Newton is the best choice. Dibs is an idiot. So then you wanted to circle all the way back around, clarify the question once again to highlight for the listeners that Dibs does know what the question is. He still made the worst possible pick, and you wanted to crop dust him on the way out. And in the process, you put us 2 minutes past the out time.
Yeah,
Joe Lo and
that.
Dibs, If you could buy any building in professional sports, what would it be? Steve Ballmer just spent $400 million on the Forum. What would you purchase with an unlimited bank account? That plus a move the Niners just made, the Wheel of Fun, and all types of good stuff. Weather locks as well. These two are hot. Joe Lowe and Dibs back soon. Possibly. Here on 95.7 The Game.
I'm out.
Stay in your lane.
Now back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs.
How quickly would we be thrown off the air?
Before you even finish the word fired?
On 95.7, The Game.
Interesting conclusion to the last segment. Lowe, after I laid all that out for you, is that what in fact happened? You wanted to crop dust Dibley on the way out?
Hey, you know what, Joe? It wasn't really like that until you brought it up, and then I was like, wow, it did sound like that? There's one more, and then I'm done with this whole conversation. We can be on to Cincinnati. If that's possible.
No, I don't think so.
You may.
Thank you. Joe, he also made
also,
a statement.
Hold on, one quick thing.
Okay,
I didn't bring it up. You asked me what happened. I laid it out chapter and verse. And then it was, well, Joe's trying to make us look bad. Joe's this, Joe's that. Dibs, did you see me as trying to come at either one of you there? I was asked a question. I gave an answer.
No, he wouldn't, I wouldn't let him finish because it was obvious what he was doing. It's his,
I promise
his
I wouldn't know it.
His real,
I
quote, helpful act. You know, he comes across as being so helpful, but in fact, what it is him trying to pat me on the head and let me know that what I think on the matter is incorrect. And I won't sit here and stand for that, even if he's only 11 miles away. I'm not going to sit here and allow him to try to corrupt the things I say and color the things I say with what he feels like the correct answer should be.
Now, I was wrong. Seriously, true friend, I did not. I thought you did not understand the question, and that's why I wanted to clarify it to give you another opportunity. But then once you did it, then that's on me. I honestly, I didn't think that you were thinking that way because it's pretty weird to me. But now this one's kind of a crop dust because you also said, and I'll just be right taking down little notes at times, Joe, and he said, you know what? Looking at the Raiders, looking at Kansas City, they're probably them. And then he said, Denver's? Who is Denver? They got a coach. Denver's the second best team in the West. Denver's going to come in second. So I'm surprised.
Really?
That you would. Yeah, I'm kind of. What if they get Cam Newton? They got a defense. And for you to think that they're not. I'm shocked, Dibs, at that statement. And that's another one that if Cam goes there, you'll get to see Mariota, Carr, and then we'll maybe get to see that because that may be one of the landing spots for the young fella.
All right, Dibs, so you heard it there. You're an idiot.
I know.
Yeah. The vaunted Bronco offense. Yeah. It's, you know, it's sad. May I?
I say he's an idiot.
Sit back, drink your probiotics, do your workouts, whatever you need to do. Just lay out for a second because it's funny that this guy,
his
biases,
man,
start to shine through, you know. he's known Vic for a long time, Vic Fangio, so he can't sometimes help his love for, you know, coaches he's played with or coaches he's played for. So it's just important that we let your biases shine through as much as your sudden love for Cam Newton. I don't know where this comes from.
Okay.
I don't love. Okay.
Does that answer all your questions, Lowe?
It does, Joe. I'm on to Cincinnati. I wasn't trying to crop dust you with that Cam question,
right,
though, bro.
Whatever.
There's gonna be a new way we phrase it on the show. After watching Tiger King episode one thing when we did the recap a couple hours ago that I forgot to mention, it was the biggest note I took where Joe Exotic is sending a message. He's talking to Armin Katayan, who we've seen on NFL broadcast. He's working for CBS. He sits at interviews with him, and he just basically tells him, if anyone tries to come in here and take my Tigers away, we're going to be dealing with a mini Waco. I'm paraphrasing,
mini
but he,
Waco,
called it, he called it a Waco. We're going to have a mini Waco situation on our hands. And Katayan looks at him and he goes, that's a really strong statement. And
very strong.
And Joe Exotic's just like, yeah, that's what we're going to deal with here. And then they talk about Waco for a little while and they show clips of it. And it's like, man, I didn't realize you could say things like that. I didn't know you could talk about going Waco on somebody. And basically in a threatening manner like that. And also, apparently in the Midwest, they still, that still rings true. Because I'm at a loss for words because I couldn't believe someone would say that on TV. If you try to take my Tigers, you're going to be dealing with a mini Waco. And then they go to the local sheriff, and he's like, basically, this guy's telling us that if we ever have to go to his property to enforce
he's
anything,
he's going
to
kill him.
We're going to get into a shootout. Now, we're only one episode in, so I'm terrified for the next 7 episodes here, Dibs.
Yes, and you've already seen that he's got a tendency to play with his guns, firing his guns into the empty lake while denouncing his rival by name and, you know, doing all kinds of things with explosives and guns and whatnot. It's definitely a little bit disconcerting if you were working for Fish and Game or working for wildlife and you had to go in there and reclaim some of these animals from him. He probably wouldn't go very quietly.
Carol Baskin, his rival in Tampa, she tells the story about how she opened her mailbox once and there were a bunch of snakes in there. And he had been talking about, on his little TV show, Joe Exotic TV, which I cannot believe I didn't know about. I would have loved to have watched that. He did a big bit on her birthday where he goes, hey, it's Carol Baskin's birthday. We got a gift for her. And it was this giant rattlesnake he's dangling. A giant rattlesnake.
Oh,
and then she gets a mailbox full of rattlesnakes. This is one of the all-time most deranged rivalries out there.
That's attempted murder, Dibs. I can't believe if he sent... I mean, I'm surprised that she was like, dude, this guy sent me rattlesnakes in the mail.
Well, I don't know if he had a return address on there. I don't know if it was necessarily definitely from him, but it is pretty coincidental.
Probable cause. Just all that you guys are saying. I'm looking right at him.
Yeah, Joe Exotic. Get to know the name, Joe Exotic. Or don't. I don't know how this ends. Let me tell you this. I don't see it ending well. I'm one episode in. No spoilers. I don't see this ending well. Dibs, I don't know where you are, but I don't think we're going to come away from Tiger King feeling real good about how everything wrapped up. I don't see this as the end to Love Actually.
No, and I don't think that they're going to come together, the two sides, and everyone's going to take their tigers and release them back to Africa together and share a nice Chardonnay and part as friends. I think you're right there, Joe. As we watch episode 2 later today so we can circle back and talk about that again tomorrow, this thing probably is going to plunge deeper and deeper into the dark side.
All right, you've got unlimited resources. You can buy any professional sports venue in the world. I'll extend it to the world if you want to go outside of America. What are you buying? Steve Ballmer, formerly of Microsoft, currently the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, purchased the LA Forum in Inglewood yesterday for $400 million from, believe it or not, James Dolan. Madison Square Garden owned, the MSG Group owned the Forum. They had paid like $26 million for it 8 years ago. They dumped $75 million into renovations. So they spent basically $100 million on this property, flipped it 8 years later for $400 million. Now the Clippers have a property where they can build a brand new stadium and start a new era completely away from the Los Angeles Lakers. So if you could buy any venue, Dibs, in the entire world, what would it be? Estadio Azteca?
No, Estadio Azteca needs a lot of upgrades. I don't know what kind of suites they have, and we know that the one locker room is 150 yards away uphill, as we remember from when the 49ers or the Raiders went down there, and they were out of gas by the time they got back to their locker room. I think I would go with AT&T Stadium right there in Dallas, Texas. You've got 100,000-seat capability. You know you've got a Super Bowl that you can definitely host there. It's the number one venue in that entire part of the country. You could do the Final Four there. I don't think there's anything you can't do at AT&T Stadium. So get Jerry on the phone. Tell him I'll put together all my resources. I'll give him $1 million for AT&T Stadium. Who says
AT&T Stadium for Dibs. Lowe's going to go with Chuck Chansey Park. Am I correct?
Lebor, baby. Chuck Chansey. There you go. Nice pool, Joe. How you know about that, brother? I'm impressed. Text line. Thank you.
Prep work.
Whatever. Hey, you know what? You said Estadio Azteca, the stadium. I would want the Mecca, and I would want James Dolan's place. I would take New York, you would take Madison Square Garden, and you take that, the location, priceless, legendary, and you can build something there. At that place with me, that would be the one. Look at the traffic, ingress, egress, the traffic count you have there. You can do so many things there. The place is a dump. You can make that place. That's the stadium that I'd buy.
So just to be clear, Madison Square Garden is a dump. It's the place you would buy.
But think, okay, here's the deal, though. Why do you think he bought the Forum? The Forum's a dump. He bought it because he's going to build a new stadium there. Because of location, Joe. When you're buying real estate, remember the three things. Location, location, location. I'm looking at that, the build there, because that place is unbelievable. The location's unreal.
Spoiler alert. Nobody in New York City wants to see a rodeo or a calf milking competition at MSG, which is what would end up happening shortly after you end up getting the keys to that property. Spike,
tell me why
he's not going to pay you $300,000 a year to watch a rodeo.
I'm not going for
tell me why wouldn't those New Yorkers want to see how to milk a cow? You don't think
because it's New York.
They would sell out. They would like, oh my God, I want to see how this dude's going to make a cow. It would be I would have so many things there to help those city slickers. They would love me. They would be saying,
I wonder where
God.
The rodeo goes when it goes to New York, Joe. You'd figure, what, do they go all the way out to the Meadowlands?
No, it goes to, like, upstate, like where Damon Bruce is from, like somewhere up in Oneonta.
Or Schenectady.
Or Schenectady, or one of those podunk towns that's near an Indian casino. That's
oh, wow.
That's what they're dealing with.
Hollow's beautiful.
They're not doing a rodeo in Madison Square Garden. You ever meet somebody who lives in New York? People who live in New York love New York because it's got that energy, that pulse, that gritty hustler feel to it. Rodeos don't exist. Calf roping competitions do not exist in that environment. That's why when you go to Texas, you don't have a lot of major cities like New York City. You've got Dallas and Houston, but they're spread out a little bit. You're not going to get you're going to buy MSG to put a rodeo in there?
Here's, Joe, what you guys have failed to realize, Dibs. Here's again. Why do you think the circus and the fair comes those little small podunk town? Because they have no excitement. So now do you think, why am I going to bring a rodeo and stuff? Because I want to slow them down. The same reason you have the fair and the circus comes those little small towns. That's going to be the same reason I bring something to slow these people down to their big, fast-paced town. That's why I would take that place and make it legendary.
Well, here it is, Joe. The news is now in. The Cowboy Channel presents Rodeo New York at Madison Square Garden, June 19th to 21st. So
that's fake news.
Yes!
That's fake news. When is it, Dibs?
It's what? June 19th to 21st, Friday,
no, it's
Saturday,
not.
Sunday.
Coronavirus. They're not having that.
But
that's fake news. Fake news. It's not happening.
It no, actually got postponed for the Knicks being in the NBA Finals. They had to actually... One of those two things is the reason why it's being preempted.
Knicks have to play in the Cow Palace.
All right, good.
I got some brain teasers. Big Puma, a good friend of ours from Chicago, has sent me a series of questions. He calls them mind benders. He thinks we should use them on the show. The first one he sent me, I heard before about 10 years ago. It is so wildly inappropriate, it's not even okay to text somebody else. I told him I can't read that on air, and he goes, okay, I got a bunch of other ones. So these are from the Puma if you're ready to answer these questions.
You
got to
do it in Big Puma voice, though, Joe. We get low doing Obama. Occasionally I'll do, well, my Reagan. So we need you to stretch out and do some voices here, kid.
All right. I think I'd be happy to give that a try. I can't say it's going to be great, but I'm going to try to give that to you. Here's what I'm going to say. When you talk about the Wheel of Fun, we're about to have some fun. I've got three for you. Two from Puma that are an original, and a third one from Puma that he completely ripped off. It was so good, I asked him where he ripped it off from because I knew it couldn't be legit. He told me it was from a Barstool podcast, the golf podcast. I can't remember what it's called, but we're going to borrow from them as we ask the third one. First one's up. All right. Guy. Two options, guy. Would you rather not be able to brush your teeth or wipe your butt for the rest of your life?
Man, Lo, you're the king of mud butt. Why don't you take this one first?
Here you go, Lo. The rest of your life, there are one of two things you can't do. You can either never brush your teeth again or never wipe your butt again.
Whoa. Yeah, for me, it's brush the teeth. I'd never brush the teeth because I could always bleach them and I could always chew gum. So it's simple for me. Brush your teeth.
All right. So you want to make sure you can wipe that rear end. Very smart play. Dibs, same thing?
No, different church,
oh,
different
God.
Pew, and have to be in a different church. Two words for you, Coach.
Ugh.
Bidet. Bidet. You can go straight bidet. You can just shower each and every time after you you go boo-boo. Without brushing your teeth, you want to talk about the halitosis? No, thank you. That's brutal. There's other ways to get around, you know, any possible dingleberries or any leftover residue.
What's that smell? Have you been to the store lately? There's
no,
all kind of plaque remover
place, you could.
No, No, it's not, Daniel. You can freaking get the plaque remover. They got all kinds of mouthwashes. It's just good. And you can freaking do that and freaking do that. You can still floss. There's all kinds of things you can still do, Daniel. But not to wash your booty. Not to wipe
your... Quick bidet flush and we're out.
Run all right, this one's a little tamer. Number two's a little tamer. All right, guy, two options.
Nice.
You can either use a pillow and no blanket for the rest of your life or have a blanket and no pillow for the rest of your life.
Mine's simple. Pillow. Give me the pillow. I sleep, you guys know, I sleep commando. I don't like necessarily like blankets or anything anyway. I love it cold. I don't need a blanket. Just give me a pillow.
Oh, my God.
I got a big head. I just need the pillow.
Coach, I'll tell you what, though. If it gets really cold and the heating breaks and you're sleeping there naked...
I've done that, Joe. I'm from Lemoore.
Dibs, no pillow for the rest of your life or no blanket for the rest of your life?
It's easy. It's no pillow. I mean, you can always wad up a sweatshirt or use whatever you need to use. You got to have a blanket. I got a blanket on my legs right now. It's freezing in this house. I don't turn the heat on until the family gets up. You got to have a blanket. The pillow is superfluous. Joe, I don't know where you fall on these, Joe. As you step away from your Puma voice and you get back to being Joe Fortenbaugh.
Yeah, it's I mean, you guys have found the outs on everything, so it's really it. To answer the question, it's like either one. There's a bunch of outs. I mean, you guys have laid out all the outs. Right. So yeah, it really doesn't matter. Just give me either one. Like I said, I could use a bidet, or I could have placard and teeth whitener. I could use a sweatshirt, or I could instead of having the blanket, whatever. So. Third one, final one. We'll start with Dibs on this one. So who are your three favorite friends to play golf with?
Okay, but you'd be Max.
Think of it. You don't have to name them, but think of your three favorite friends. Now, these are people you've played. Well, you can name them if you want. What I'm getting at is it's not some sort of dream scenario.
Gotcha.
It's regular people you play with. Now, they don't have to be your most frequent, but it's those three people and you. Lo, think about it. Three people you play with regularly or have played with normally, and you. And it's either that foursome getting to play Augusta National, or you play the worst course you've ever played in your life, but you get to play it with Tiger Woods. Which one are you doing? Are you taking a terrible golf course with Tiger or Augusta National with your friends?
I would take my friends to Augusta National just to be able to be out there with my group of four and to have a chance to play that course and have that memory with friends. To me, it would be better than, and I've played some dog tracks, Joe, believe me, all the courses I've played across Northern California and the West Coast. I don't know how much fun that would be watching Tiger, deal with bald lies and a tee box with no grass and greens that are rolling to like a four on the stem. I would imagine that he'd be complaining pretty early, and it would kind of ruin the day for me.
Wow.
Not even close.
I did not see that coming where it's like, Woods is just going to be an idiot. So you guys are incredible the way you squeeze out of these things.
I kind of got what you're saying, Joe. And that one, though, this one's a no-brainer. You're just saying that we're not a great course. And trust me, Tiger's playing on some courses that are not – he has not always been Tiger. He's got friends. He played on some average courses. So for me, it's not even close. My friends – they can go have it. I'm not going to take my friends. No, I'm going to go play with Tiger. I'm freaking going to be able to hang out with Tiger Woods, get 18 holes in, ask him any kind of questions, the kind of tips you're going to be able to learn from watching his amazing shots, riding with the dude in the cart, hanging out with freaking Tiger. Dude, it's not my friends. You know what? I could call them, see them. You can't do that with Tiger. So for me, it's not even close. It's Tiger on a crappy course.
All right, so now let's turn it over to the station and the Wheel of Fun as we bring this thing to a conclusion. Nice guy, Steven. If you could spin the Wheel of Fun, we would greatly appreciate it.
Hey! Welcome to the 9 o'clock hour, the Wheel of Fun with Joe, Lo, and Dibs. You all right, Lo? You good? Now,
I'm ready.
I got another hard-hitting question for you guys after that series of hard-hitting questions. If you had to choose one to eat for the rest of your life, pancakes or waffles?
Joe, we'll start with you.
Waffles. I go back and forth on this, but waffles. I think waffles are more conducive to the way I would want to set up a breakfast and be able to vary it. If it's going to be the same meal for the rest of my life, I need to get as versatile with it as it can be. So you can use the waffle as a sandwich. You can use the waffle dessert, too. I highly recommend the next time you're thinking to take two Eggo waffles, toast them, and then grab some ice cream, throw it in the middle, and make a sandwich out of that. But from breakfast, you can load it up with whipped cream, you can load it up with fruit, you can eat it with just syrup. I know you can do something similar with pancakes, but they're a little bit heavier in my opinion. So if I've got to go with one of the two for the rest of my life, it's going to be waffles. Waffles by a length and a half at Woodbine.
Nice. So you make a waffle ice cream sandwich?
Yes, and I highly recommend it the next time you're thinking. Take two Eggo waffles. You don't need to go nuts. If you want to make really good waffles, you can do that too. Just take two Eggos, throw them in the toaster, get them nice and crispy, then take whatever type of ice cream. Neapolitan works very well for this. Take a big slice of Neapolitan, put it right in the middle, turn it into an ice cream sandwich. Call me after you do it and let me know what you think. The call is going to go directly to voicemail, but leave a message.
Do some good old-fashioned thinking, eat a waffle ice cream sandwich, and give a call to Joe. Dibs, I'll go to you on this one for the rest of your life.
I'm going pancakes, and it's partly for what Joe said about it being filling. Not a huge pancake or waffle guy, but for me, the ability to have a pancake, and if you have leftover pancakes, those are easier to repurpose than your leftover waffles. For me, something about the filling nature of the pancake is more conducive to me if I have to eat it morning, noon, and night. So even though I respect the versatility of the waffle, as Joe laid it out, I like the good old-fashioned heartiness of the pancake, which is why I'm going with the cake, Stephen.
And, of course, you can feel free to chime in on the Chilton Autobody text line, whether nice. You want pancakes or waffles. Lo, we'll go to you for the last question on the Wheel of Fun for the day.
You know, it's crazy because I, too, with dibs on this, it's pancakes. I when I go out to a restaurant, very rarely do I get waffles. And I'm looking at waffles, pancakes. Always come to that division, that decision. And usually, most of the times, I take pancakes. So I know that I'm a pancake guy. So it'll be pancakes for Lolo.
So we know how Joe likes to add to the waffles. But dibs, Lo, since you're pancake guys, where are you on plain pancakes versus putting stuff in pancakes, putting blueberries or chocolate chips, what have you? Do you like that, or should you just keep them plain?
I've always been a plain guy. Keep them plain, and if you want things like chocolate or chocolate chips on it, to me that has to do with dessert. And the maybe the waffle and the pantheon of waffles, that fits better. I've never been a blueberry pancake guy, a strawberry pancake, just a little bit of 100% pure maple syrup, just a little bit, and let the pancake speak for itself.
Low,
oh,
plain.
My goodness. No, man. I get my pancakes. I'll get me some couple hickory smoked bacon, throw that bacon between the pancakes, a little butter, syrup. Man, you can make all and pancakes, man. They're so versatile as well. So, no, I can mix it up, strawberries, whipped cream, whatever. Pancakes are really – you can do anything with a pancake as well.
Low's got like –
Lowe's try like, you a bacon.
Just like
try
sear,
you a bacon.
Cooked into it. It's like a whole, like, just,
throw a little, everything's better with swine. You use a bacon and pancakes?
Yeah, but on the side, you bake the bacon into the pancake?
Oh, no, you could just put it, you don't bake it in it. You just go ahead and
so you're just talking about
stuff.
Having breakfast.
Yeah. like you're talking about with just adding ice cream or whatever you're going to put on your strawberries or whatever on top of your waffles, same way.
He's just trying to streamline the eating to where you cut in the pancake and there also happens to be a couple of pieces of bacon in between. So now you're getting that bite, right, Lo? You get the pancake bite with the bacon all in the same bite.
No, I've done the roll-up. I've done the roll-up where I get
the
bacon
roll-up, yeah.
And put it inside the pancake. It's pretty cool.
I usually do the roll-up before I have the waffles, like Joe was saying.
All right, conclusion of the show. You guys are red hot. Weather locks. Because we have nothing to bet on, you guys are betting the over-under on the high temperature in San Francisco every day, and we're hoping that the winner will get a guest spot on a local TV show as a guest weather person. Just one time, any local shows that hear us out there that want to have one of these two fine gentlemen in, we'd love to talk business with you because we haven't really gotten that solidified yet. But we got a while to go here. Yesterday, the projected high temperature was 55 degrees. Low went with the over. Dibs went with the over. The final answer, 55.9 degrees.
Wow.
So the over cashes. Dibs is 5-1. Low is 4-2. Today's projected high is we're up against it. Dibs, I'll start with you. 54 degrees over or under.
I'm going to go under today, Joe. I think this cold snap that's come in is going to cost us. It is nice as Lo goes outside and gives us a look at the blue sky and the Mita, but I am going to go under here, kid.
He is outside. How does that mic stretch that far?
Well, you know what, Joe? I'm taking this outside with my phone. I'm looking at the weather, and I'm looking up at the sun. I'm hearing the birds chirping in the trees, looking around. It's a beautiful day. I'm going to go with the over. I feel like it's nice, the over. Little hummingbird looking at me. It's the over.
I love it. Lo goes outside and checks Alameda to give us his prediction for what's happening in San Francisco.
And he took 8 steps outside his house, and he's already out of breath.
That's it for us. Bonte, Stani, and Guru. Next,
Dibs.
We'll see you tomorrow, 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.